We believe church membership is an important decision, something that you're committing yourself to this church and to this body to help this body. And in the Foundations class, which by the way is coming up October the 5th, if you want to know a little bit more about that and what our church stands for and what we believe, Foundations class would be very, very helpful to you. And these people have gone through that, and it is an awesome opportunity now to see each member serving one another. And that is our goal, and that's what we want to be able to do. Well, we have a memory verse that we've been learning, and if you're new here, maybe this is the first time you've seen it. So we will say it all together, and then we'll pull it down from the screen, and then we will see who's got it memorized, all right? Here we go. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Very good. All right, let's take it down. Are you ready? John 10:10. The thief. Amen. Have you ever looked at that verse and said, I want life more abundantly? Well, often when we look at life and life more abundantly, we look at it from a perspective that we think it ought to happen. We look at it from a way that we think this is the way I am going to gain life. And normally that's pleasing ourselves. Normally that's doing something that we enjoy doing. But a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you'll remember this, and I'll try and catch up to speed just a little bit. We talked about the fact in John chapter 13 that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now, I've talked to multiple people since that time, and we talked about how dirty their feet would have been. Now, not just a dusty climate, but you have to remember that the animals, they didn't have vehicles, right? So the animals walked on the same paths that the humans walked. And animals have this habit of eating something and then dropping it out the back. And so they would be walking through all of that. And Jesus is on his knees washing those dirty, stinking, gross feet. He's washing them. We talked about the fact that Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 15, he says this, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So just like Jesus got in the nitty-gritty, just like Jesus got down and got into the dirtiest part of these human beings' life, likewise, we need to be the same. Based on Jesus' example, we should serve one another. That is the lesson that we learned a couple of weeks ago. But let me ask you a very, very important question this morning. Is there anyone that you refuse to serve? Is there anyone that you refuse to serve? Maybe let me ask it this way. Who have you decided is beneath your service? Who have you decided that is beneath your service? You see, most human beings don't have too many problems serving someone we deem to be higher or more important than us. Boss at my job, I would be happy to serve you, right? Mostly because we're sucking up. That's mostly what happens. But most of us, again, we don't struggle with that as much. Oftentimes, we don't even really struggle with serving those we deem to be on the same level as us. Oh, sure, you need some help with construction at your house. Oh, I'd love to help you. And then we know that someday we'll need a favor and they'll come over and they'll help us. And so we're on the same level. And so we don't necessarily struggle to serve the people who are on the same level as us. But we really struggle to serve those we deem to be less than us. We struggle to serve those we deem to be less than us. We say things like this: I don't have time. I don't have time, or not today, or not that person, or I'm not getting that dirty, or they should have this figured out by now. They are always being served. Let someone else do it. Listen to this, please. Even more difficult is to serve those who we deem to be against us. Those we deem to be against us. We say things like this: I would never serve them. Not unless they come and ask me for forgiveness and they apologize. And you don't know what they've done to me. I'll serve anybody, but I'm not serving them. Listen, I don't think there's a human being on planet Earth who is excited to serve an enemy that has hurt them. I want you to understand, that's natural. That's human behavior. Again, just because it's natural human behavior, please understand, doesn't make it right. We might know in our heads that it's right, but there are very few people that have actually ever served and sacrificed for someone that is their enemy. Our passage today is the same passage, John chapter 13. But I want you to notice something just a little bit different about this passage today. Truthfully, John chapter 13 is an incredible chapter. I probably have said that about every single chapter in the book of John. But when you study it, when you walk through it and you watch, you see some incredible things happen. John chapter 13, we already talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But I want you to understand, that is actually a very small part of this chapter. We often make that the theme of this chapter, but it is not the theme of the chapter. Context in the Bible is incredibly important. Incredibly important. Nestled right in the middle of this massively strange narrative, we see Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. You may ask, what is the strange narrative? The majority of the narrative of John chapter 13 is actually that of Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, is getting ready to betray Jesus Christ, to turn him over to the council, to let everybody know where he is and what he's doing. He's going to betray Jesus, and that is the majority of the chapter. Let me just show you a few things. John chapter 13, look at with me in verse 2. And supper being ended, notice, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So he's already nestling this in. Jump down to verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. Verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Just a few short verses. And I want you to see that all the way from 18 to verse 30 describes how Judas would be revealed as a traitor. So I want you to understand this morning. Contextually, the betrayal is the theme of this chapter so far. But nestled within the betrayal is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Nestled into the story of Judas is going to betray me, we see the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now let me ask you this question. What does the washing of the feet of the disciples have to do with the betrayal of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope this morning to try to answer that question. Let's read in verse 6, John chapter 13 and verse 6. The Bible says this: Then cometh he to Simon Peter, good old Simon. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet, not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, notice, but not all. Why? For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. This is an interesting dialogue between Peter and Jesus. But this dialogue opens up a lot of information, and so I just want to focus on a few things. I want you to focus in again on verse 8. Focus in again on verse 8. Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet. No. You're not going to do that. You are above that. You shouldn't be washing my feet, Jesus. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. You are not going to be identified with me. You are not going to have a say with me. Listen, please. He says, you have no part in me if I do not wash you. Now let me ask you this question. Whose feet did Jesus wash? Whose feet did Jesus wash? You say, well, obviously, he washed the disciples' feet. That's what the story's about. But do you remember who's in this group? Well, Peter, of course. And of course, James and John, you know, the big three, the inner circle. Of course he washed their feet. But do you remember that Judas Iscariot is in this room? Judas Iscariot, the man who would betray him, is in this group. Judas, the betrayer, who had not yet left to betray him. And listen, I want you to understand this. Jesus, being God, knew that he was the one who would betray him. He knew it. In fact, look with me again in verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. He's looking around the room and he's saying, I have to wash your feet. Otherwise you have no part with me. But ye are not all clean. Because there is one who will betray me. Jesus, knowing what Judas was about to do, Jesus, knowing that Judas would betray him, Jesus, knowing that Satan himself would enter into Judas, Jesus, knowing that Judas was the man who would rise up against him, Jesus, knowing that Judas would swiftly leave the upper room and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, knowing and understanding all of that, listen to me please, still took those dirty, stinking, absolutely filthy, traitor feet of Judas. And listen, pulled them close to himself and gently washed his feet. Listen, you want to know what I would do with his feet? Maybe I shouldn't tell you. But I certainly am not drawing them close, and if I washed them at all, it would not be gently. Right? Yet Jesus lovingly washed them. Look at verse 1, John 13, 1. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, watch this, having loved his own which were in the world, watch this, he loved them unto the end. Listen, this is love at another level that I don't know that I'm prepared for. That I don't know that I'm ready for. Listen, this is love at the highest level. Listen, Jesus did this out of love. How many times have you done something out of obligation? Even to your spouse. Ah, it's Valentine's Day. So you know what I gotta do, right? Gotta buy them flowers or chocolates or whatever. Jesus did not wash Judas's feet out of obligation. He washed them out of love. Jesus did not wash them out of peer pressure, nor did he wash them out of what I like to call the Eeyore syndrome. Oh, I have to do this. Jesus did it happily. He loved Judas. Jesus' love for Judas was evident in this foot washing. When Jesus had every reason to hate him, he loved him. And I want to be clear about something. Jesus, knowing all he knew about Judas, still offered him a part with him. Listen to me. According to Jesus' words to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That means if he washes your feet, he's offering you a part with him. Listen, Judas got his feet washed. The wicked, vile, heinous traitor, Jesus still said, you can still have a part with me. You can still come with me. You can still be with me. Listen, please. He gave himself for this treacherous traitor. Jesus, knowing all that would be accomplished, still offered Judas to have part of him. I don't know about you, but this is mind-blowing to me. Now, I don't know that I've ever had anybody that's been a traitor to me. I know I've had people talk bad about me. I can tell you stories of things that people have said to me to my face. So if they're saying it to my face, it's got to be worse behind. Listen, I'm going to just be dead honest with you. I would struggle to serve even those people who've called me names. Human nature is not to serve those who hate us. And so this is mind-blowing how absolutely different our Savior is to us. He is absolutely incredible. Now, do you remember what Jesus' instruction to his disciples were? Look at verse 15 again. John chapter 13 and verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. I just washed Judas' feet. I asked you at the beginning, is there someone that you've decided is beneath your service? That you will not serve? Listen, Jesus says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Listen, there ought not to be a person on planet Earth that we would be unwilling to serve. Now again, that's a good theory, isn't it? We can sit here and go, oh yeah, okay. But you'll walk out of these doors today and you'll go to work tomorrow and that person at work that just... That's the person. Maybe it's a person in this building today. And you've struggled with them. You've had issues with them. You've gone through time and time and time again. Listen, maybe it's time that you just found a way to serve that person. And give you example after example. Please, let it sink in for a moment. There is not an enemy. There is not someone who is vile. There is not someone who is worse off. There is not someone who is a heinous criminal. No one that we should be unwilling to serve. Now, let me be clear about something. Judas eventually did commit his betrayal. And Judas eventually died a horrible death. I would love to tell you that he made amends with Jesus Christ before he died. I would love to tell you that he came and wrapped his arms around Jesus and said, I'm sorry. Listen, we have a story about a man who did that. His name's Peter. He messed up and he got right with God. There's nowhere in the Bible that we see Jesus and Judas making amends. So I want you to understand this. By serving someone, Jesus did not, what's the word I want? He did not affirm Judas's sin. He did not say, Judas, you go right ahead. Everything you do is perfect. You're such a wonderful human being. He did not do that. He offered him a part with him, and then Judas still made his decision. He did not promote his sin. He did not dismiss his sin. Yet, Jesus served him. You see, there's a big difference here. Now I want to go back to Jesus' conversation with Peter. Look with me in verse 7, John 13 and verse 7. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, I cannot prove this biblically, so please, I want you to just to take this for what it is, my opinion. Jesus explains a little bit afterwards. He says, don't you know what I've done to you? As I've served you and all of these different things, so ought you to serve other people. But I'm of the opinion that this was not the full explanation of what was about to go on. I'm of the opinion that Jesus had something far more drastic, far more incredible that he meant. Something that they would not understand that day, but they would understand hereafter. Something a little further down the road. Now, there is no way, I apologize for this, I don't normally do this, but I want you to follow me. There is no way for me to explicitly link these two things together. Because the Bible does not completely link them. But I want you just to think about this for a second. There is a direct correlation here to Jesus washing the disciples' feet, the betrayal of Judas, and the death of Jesus Christ. Nestled in the middle of a story about betrayal, there's a story about service. There's a story about love. I want you to understand, nestled in the story, the grand story of a sinful, wicked human race, nestled in the middle of that story is a story about a Savior who served you, who sacrificed himself for us, died on a cross for every single human being. Please understand, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single person. The whole world. The most vile, the most wicked, the most heathen, the most disgusting, the most perverted, the most morally depraved human beings. Jesus died for them. Every single one of us. Jesus died for all. Even the people, hear me, even the people he knew would not come. Even the people he knew would spit on him. Even the people he knew would deny his very existence. Even the people who would hurt him. He died for all. Listen, there will be people in this world who will tell you that Jesus only died for a select few. That is false. Jesus died for all, fully knowing those who would never accept him. Yet he still offered them a part with him. Jesus knows all things. Yet he still died for every single person. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation, which is a really big word for payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but watch, for the sins of what? The whole world. There is not a person, listen, I don't care who you think of. I don't care the most vile, wicked human being that you can ever think of. Jesus died for that person. Now, will they accept? I don't know. But Jesus died for them. Listen, please, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. This is why it doesn't matter how bad you are. This is why it doesn't matter how horrible you think you are or how much you don't deserve it. Listen, please. Jesus died for you. He took your dirty, rotten, stinking sin and he put it upon himself. God put it on him. And he buried it. And he left it there and he rose again. He paid for your sin. Most of us don't want to think about this. Most of us think that we are pretty impeccable human beings. Just ask me, I'll tell you how great I am. However, every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us has dirty, rotten, ugly sin that none of us would want to put on the screens here for all the world to see. Yet Jesus died for us. We've been given an opportunity to have a part in Jesus Christ. The disciples did not understand this at this point. They did not grasp, I believe, all that Jesus was doing, but there would come a time when Peter would deny him. There would come a time when the Bible says all would forsake him and flee. There would come a time when they would realize how despicable they themselves were and how desperately they needed Jesus to wipe their filth away. Yet, there was still one who was not clean. There was still one who did not come to Jesus. Listen to me, please. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you have not had him take your sins away. Can you picture him here? Just waiting. I can almost picture him on his knees with a basin of water and a towel and just saying, "Next, will you come? Will you come? I'll wash anyone's feet." Listen, if he can wash Judas Iscariot's feet, he can take away your sin. Now, I'm not done. Again, I began this message by asking you, who is it that you've decided is beneath your service? Maybe you even say today, give me one good reason I should serve those who I don't think deserve serving. Here's my one answer. Because Jesus Christ did that for you. I think sometimes Christians get kind of uppity and say, well, God saved me. I'm something special. Listen, you are nothing special outside of Jesus Christ. By the way, let me rephrase that. I am nothing special outside of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ is what saved us. That is it. Nothing that I have done, nothing that I have given, no money, no, just because I'm a pastor, just because I do good deeds. Listen, none of that gets me to heaven. Only Jesus Christ gets me to heaven. So listen, you are no different than any other human being on the planet. You are a sinner. And hopefully a sinner saved by grace. Jesus Christ served you. He served us who were not worth serving. David said in the Psalms, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you even see us? We're nothing." But Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, watch this. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we were dirty, rotten sinners. Look at this one. Colossians chapter 1, 21 and 22. "And you that were sometimes alienated," and watch this, "and enemies in your mind." How? "By wicked works." What has he done? "Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." To do what? "To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight." Literally taking the dirtiest, ugliest, nastiest, filthiest sinner and saying, "He's perfect." Jesus did that for you. Jesus is our example. I want to show you verse 15 again. John chapter 13 and verse 15. "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." Listen, please. Jesus has forgiven you all. He has wiped away the filth of this world from us, and he's given us a new life. Here's my question. will you help others have the same? Will you, regardless of any other factors, regardless of a physical appearance or a physical smell, regardless of a political view, regardless of a race, regardless of a gender, regardless of any of those things, will you reach out to people and serve them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you share the love of Jesus Christ, and will you share his sacrifice to a world that does not deserve it? If Jesus can serve his own traitor, then you and I can serve anyone. I do believe this. Taking a plate of cookies to somebody is serving them. But that's not what Jesus was exactly talking about. Taking a plate of cookies over to somebody and giving them the gospel with those plate of cookies, and telling them about the sacrifice that Jesus made, that's the goal. You see, we can meet humanitarian needs, physical needs, but miss out on the spiritual needs. So as you go from this place today, I want you to find somebody you can serve with the gospel. I want you to find some way, some shape, some form that you can serve somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Father, I pray if there's any person in this room that does not feel worthy of your salvation, Father, I pray today would be the day they say, if he can wash Judas' feet, if he can invite him, he can invite me. Father, I pray every single one of us would remember what it is that we are. And remember that we do not deserve the salvation that we have. Yet God, in his great love wherewith he loved us, sent his only begotten Son for me. Father, may we never look at anyone and think they are unworthy of your salvation. May we never look at anyone without wondering, I wonder if they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, may every single human being that we run into, may we look on them as you look on them, as sheep in need of a shepherd. Father, whatever you'll do in this place today, pray that you have all the honor and glory from it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.